You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox from Pro Football Focus, back with your daily fix of Chicago Bears analysis. Today, I'm taking you to Halas Hall to listen in on the newest Chicago Bears free agent signings, all speaking to the media today at their press conferences. You'll hear Ryan Pace kick things off, talking about how free agency had a little bit of a different feel to it this year. Then we'll hear from backup quarterback Chase Daniel, new slot receiver Taylor Gabriel, Trey Burton and Allen Robinson, of course. They all had a lot to say about Mitchell Trubisky, Matt Nagy, the new offense, and how everything is going to fit together here moving forward. There's a lot to get to, so let's jump right in here. We're going to go in order here of how they spoke at Halas Hall today. You know, the kicker, Cody Parkey, also talked, but We're going to skip that one, you know. So I went ahead and edited together some of the highlights from these press conferences. I mean, combined, they talked for over an hour at Halas Hall. And so I just wanted to pull out some of the best nuggets and skip out some of the fluff and the less substantial answers that we heard about. You know, they were interested in other teams, but they like Chicago and they're excited and, you know, everything we hear all the time. There were some very specific and notable quotables from some of these players. And it starts with Ryan Pace. He came out and gave his pre-written speech about how, you know, these are all playmakers that we targeted and all that. But he was asked some good questions about how free agency felt a little bit different this year and how Mitchell Trubisky played into that. And then he answered some of our most pressing questions about what's next at the tight end position with Trey Burton. So here is Ryan Pace speaking today at Halas Hall, introducing the newest free agent signings of the Chicago Bears.
Given the different vibe when you were calling around on players like Robinson in the past couple of years when you guys weren't able to get some of the bigger names in free agents?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a good feeling when you know players want to be here, you know? And you can feel that, Brad, and I think that's accurate. You know, I think, you know, it starts, you know, with our staff and with Matt Nagy and our quarterback and the city of Chicago and there was a different vibe this year.
What do you like about how Trey Burton can fit into this offense?
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting. One of the first conversations Matt and I had, once kind of everything calmed down and we're just talking football, was the value of this position, the value of the U tight end position in this offense. And he painted that picture very clear, which is great for a scout to hear because then it makes it easier to go find that person. And so Trey, he just fits a lot of the qualities we're looking for in this offense. I think, you know, obviously as a receiver, his ability to separate, he's got good hands, he's an intelligent player. We just feel there's a lot of upside ahead of him, and we feel like this offense will maximize that upside.
Brian, how does he affect Adam Shaheen's development? Are they complementary players? Are they different players? How do those two fit to get Shaheen supposedly going to have a breakout type of year?
Yeah, and Mark, I think we can utilize all our tight ends. I think, you know, the Super Bowl champions are a recent example of that, of using a lot of tight ends. And so they're all valuable weapons. They're all a little different. I think they all complement each other. And so it fits together nicely.
You said people felt like they wanted to be here when you talked to them. How much of a factor did Mitch play in that when you're talking to these players?
I think there's excitement around the league with Mitch, you know, and I just think not just for the talent that he is, but the person that he is. And I think, you know, I mean, let's be honest, you know, teams players pay attention to who the quarterback is and who they're going to potentially pair with. And there's a lot of excitement around the quarterback, and that definitely helps.
Deion Sims going to be on the team? Can you guys make a decision with him?
We like Deion Sims, a well-rounded tight end. We're excited we got him.
So, like I said on Tuesday's podcast, Deion Sims isn't going anywhere, and people were too quick to assume that the signing of Trey Burton meant that Sims was on his way out, but Ryan Pace there affirmed that Deion Sims will be back. You know, I'm not going to go into all the details again of why I explained that before, but if you go back and listen to the Allen Robinson, Trey Burton podcast, went into how Burton and Sims play different positions in this offense. Ryan Pace referred to Burton's spot as the U tight end there, but Sims is more of the traditional Y tight end up on the line of scrimmage, and they're just not going to necessarily impact each other's position on the field. But more generally here, even in some parts that I didn't include in that selection, Ryan Pace just seemed like he and Matt Nagy are more in sync about free agency this year than John Fox and him were last year and even the year before that. You know, it seems like this front office and coaching staff are clicking and they have a unified direction and team identity. And I think you'll get a sense for that here as we listen to the other free agents talk in a minute. But it's really something that's easy to get encouraged by and easy to be excited about the direction that these two guys have the franchise moving. The arrow is clearly pointing up. But that being said, it is important in free agency to take a step back and just remember games are not won in March. You know, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are saying all the right things. They're making all the moves that seem smart, the moves that seem almost predictable. Like, we could kind of see that they were going to sign Allen Robinson. They were going to sign the quarterback that knew the system. You know, they're going to sign a speedy third receiver. They're going to sign a new tight end to replace Zach Miller. You know, it seems like we're starting to see these moves that we could kind of see coming, which isn't a bad thing. It's just interesting. And maybe it's an encouraging thing that they seem to be making moves that appear to be smart on the outside, and that's something to be excited about, but just don't get too carried away yet. We're hearing all the talk. The Bears are doing all the right things, but I just try and preach keeping a level head about everything, both in the positive and the negative direction. Typically in the NFL, things are never as good as they seem, and they're never as bad as they seem either. And I just urge you to try and keep just a little bit of a level head here as we move forward to the offseason. This is just phase one of a full offseason plan. Then we'll get a feeling for what this Bears team is going to be like come the regular season. You know, just know this is not a fan podcast. You listen to Locked On Bears for the in-depth, objective analysis. Next up in the press conference slate was kicker Cody Parkey. He talked a little bit about kicking in cold weather and his background with the Bears special teams coordinator. You know, we've talked long snappers and kickers before on this podcast, but I just couldn't bring myself to play an audio clip of a kicker's press conference. He's just got to make his kicks. And if he makes his kicks, Bears fans will be happy. If he misses his kicks, no one will be happy. End of story. Cody Parkey looked like he should write for the Chicago Tribune, the way he looked in his suit up at the podium. Just kind of looked like a normal guy. Seemed likable, but that's all you need to know about Cody Parkey. He said a lot of nice things about Robbie Gould and how that's who he's going to try and emulate, but he's a kicker. Moving on. Chase Daniel was up next after Cody Parkey, and, you know, he's a guy that has gotten some criticism on social media because he's kind of a low-hanging fruit, you know, easy to pick at because he's only attempted 3 passes in the last 3 years. That's the stat everyone throws around, and he's gotten a bunch of guaranteed millions of dollars even over that span. Only started 2 games in like 8 years in the NFL and still got 2 years, $10 million with like 7 guaranteed from the Bears. But when he came to talk at his press conference, you know, after I listened to him, you really can start to see here why the Bears brought him in and why he could be a pretty valuable signing. So take a listen to what Chase Daniel had to say about Trubisky, Nagy, and the Bears offense.
Chase, Adam Johns here from Chicago. Sometimes you've worked with Drew Brees and Alex Smith. How do things change with a second-year quarterback? You're involved with
it. Yeah, there's a lot, right? I think one of the biggest things in this league is these rookie quarterbacks, second-year quarterbacks, get put way too much on their plate. And I think here we're going to try to simplify things a little bit, get back to the base offense that Matt runs, and just let Mitch play freely and not overload his plate, and just go out there from day one, have fun, and sling it around a little bit, play with confidence.
Is that mentor sounding board role something here?
Yeah, hey, absolutely. I'm here, you know, two-part why I'm here. One is to be able to play well when called upon, and two, to help Mitch along. And that's something that I definitely cherish and that I take seriously and that I'm looking forward to.
Okay, so Pat, coming to the Chicago sometimes, what's the hardest part of Matt's offense for young guys?
Well, I think there's a lot to it. He puts a lot on the quarterback, and you know, no, just barely talking to Mitch right after I signed, he's up for the task, and that's something that I think when a quarterback takes accountability in an offense, especially this offense, it's going to thrive, and the players are going to gravitate toward him like they already have toward Mitch. So, as you know, when we start back in preseason workouts, I mean, this offense is new for about 99% of the guys. So there's a few guys. I mean, Trey Burton was in it with Doug Peterson in Philadelphia. I was in it, obviously, and there's some other guys here and there, but it's brand new. So you're really starting from day one, and I think that's good because you can really get back to the details of what we're doing.
In the Chicago Tribune, in your experience with Matt, what are his strengths as a coach, and what are his strengths specifically as a coach and quarterback?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think for me, personally, all I can talk about is me, but for me, it's his – he's so relatable, right? He played the position of quarterback, so that helps with quarterbacks. He understands it. He sees it from a different perspective than any other coach who's not a quarterback. So for him, he's just himself. He doesn't try to impress anybody. He's just going to be himself. He's going to be even keel. He's up-tempo. He's aggressive as a play caller, so I think quarterbacks sort of gravitate toward that. I mean, you could tell last year in Kansas City, they were throwing the ball down the field, and that's something that we're going to do here, I'm sure. And I'm just looking forward to seeing, you know, Matt really take that next step, right, as a head coach in his career. So that'll be fun for me.
Listen, the Bears needed a quarterback here that knows the offensive system and someone that can step in and really help Mitchell Trubisky. And I think Chase Daniel will be critical for that. You know, he learned behind Drew Brees in New Orleans. And then whatever you feel about Alex Smith, there's still some valuable things that Daniel could have picked up from him. He played in Philadelphia as well. You know, and he talked about in another clip about how Ryan Pace was the guy that found him for the Saints and kind of advocated for them to bring him in there. Of course, Matt Nagy loved working with him in Kansas City. So these two guys know him better than any other GM head coach combo in the league. So, you know, if there anyone has reason to think he can be more than what we've seen, it's these two guys. You know, Chase Daniel isn't here because he was the best available backup quarterback who can win games if Mitchell Trubisky gets hurt. I think Daniel is a decent option when he's put in the game and he's on the field, but he was the best free agent option in terms of who can help Mitchell Trubisky the most on the sideline and in the film room and in the offseason, learning the offense, and he should accelerate Mitchell Trubisky's development. That's the theory. And if that is truly the case, then he is well worth $7 million guaranteed. Of course, the new weapons Ryan Pace added for Trubisky should help accelerate that development too. The weapons were the final three speakers at Thursday's press conference. The first one was Taylor Gabriel from the Atlanta Falcons, who shared in a similar feeling of excitement about the Bears' offense.
Hey, what appealed to you most about the Bears, and how much interest you have in free agency?
I had a few interests in free agency, but about the Bears, just Nagy's offense, just his creativity and the things that he did when he was with the Chiefs. So I feel like for me, it was a no-brainer. And coming from with Tyreek Hill and the things that he did with him and moving him around and getting him open, so it was a no-brainer for me.
Hey, Taylor, Mark Girardi, 7-4. Do you consider yourself the fastest man in the NFL?
Yeah. Can't say anybody's faster than you, man.
What do you know about Mitch Trubisky, and what specifically impresses you about him?
We played him last year. We played him last year. We really didn't get to see him because another quarterback was playing. But I got to talk to him a little bit after the game just to conversate with him. And he just seemed like a very confident guy, very confident in himself and the things that he's doing. And I looked up a few of his highlights on YouTube as well. And the guy can sling it, man. And when we signed the other day, the first thing I asked him, man, how's your deep ball? So I'm excited to be with him, excited to get here and get to play.
In regards to Coach Nagy, what were your first impressions of him being spectacular?
Smooth dude, man. I like his swag a little bit. It's nice. But just his offensive mind, meeting him the first time, it felt like I knew him for a long time, not just meeting him for the first time. So I feel like we're going to gel together and create a lot of things and create a lot of mismatches. So I'm excited.
Of course, for more on Taylor Gabriel, make sure, if you haven't already, go back and listen to yesterday's podcast. That would be Wednesday. We had Charles McDonald from Football Outsiders, Falcoholic, Setting the Edge. He joined the podcast to give sort of the Atlanta Falcons perspective on Taylor Gabriel, how he fit into that offense, why he took a step back in 2017 after a big 2016 season, and he kind of broke down what Taylor Gabriel can do and what he can't do, especially when it comes to fitting in Chicago. Plus, at the beginning of that episode, we talked more in depth on Chase Daniel, a little bit of Cody Parkey talk for some kicker stuff for you, and then we went a little bit in depth on the re-signing of Sam Acho and Prince Amukamara, which I wasn't as high on as you might think. It was yet another jam-packed episode of your favorite Bears podcast, Locked On Bears. We move along now to Trey Burton, who I kind of think can have a little bit of a Chase Daniel-like effect for the rest of the offense. Listen to what he had to say here, and I think you'll start to hear what I mean.
Trey, Rich Campbell from the Chicago Tribune. What do you see in this opportunity here?
I see a lot, man. I see, obviously, I was part of this offense in Philadelphia, saw how successful it was. You know, all you need is a couple weapons and a quarterback who, you know, can handle all of it, and I think this is exactly what we have here in Chicago.
Well, when you were looking at other teams, Matt Nagy's history with those tight ends, how much did that maybe influence your decision?
Huge influence. I mean, that, the history, the tradition of Chicago, and then also I don't have to learn a new offense. You know, I basically know the whole thing, a couple things here and there, you know, that they did in Kansas City that we did different in Philadelphia. But, I mean, 95% of the playbook I already know, and so that's huge from a player standpoint.
Obviously, he has a connection with Nagy. What are your earliest impressions upon meeting him there?
With who?
Coach Nagy.
Oh, man. Man, I remember the first conversation I had. He had so much juice on the phone. You know, it kind of like brought me back. But him and Doug are really similar. And I'm really, really excited to get to know him a little bit more and his family as well.
Are you starting to hear a little bit of a theme with these guys? They're all really pumped about Mitchell Trubisky and Matt Nagy. And you can already hear from these guys the identity of this team, and really the perception of this team from the outside, already starting to form in a really positive direction that you just didn't have, even with a quote-unquote respected veteran head coach, one who has won a Super Bowl in John Fox. It didn't have the same effect until you get Mitchell Trubisky in here, and you get a innovative, creative, fresh offensive mind at the helm. Just interesting how without the well-known head coach, John Fox, you know, Pace takes a chance on a pretty inexperienced coach in Matt Nagy, and already they kind of get this identity and positive perception forming about them through the rest of the league. But specifically with Burton here, it's important that he knows 95% of this offense. You know, like Chase Daniel said, it is a complex and creative system, and Burton can be another teacher on the field, the player coach. You know, he can help the young guys like Adam Shaheen. He can help Deion Sims, help Taylor Gabriel, even help Allen Robinson, who spoke last at Hallis Hall on Thursday and really, I think, made the biggest headlines with some of his comments. You have to listen closely here because he talks really fast, but he did say a lot of important stuff, so last but certainly not least, here is Allen Robinson at Hallis Hall.
Allen, Mark Potash from the Sun-Times. I'm sure you're 100% confident that you'll in your recovery, but do you get that there's a little bit of a question mark? Will you be the same player you were before the injury? Do you understand that there's a little bit of doubt or question mark there?
Yeah, I understand it's a question from the media. I mean, not from me. I mean, I know how I'm going to go about this thing, and I know the type of player I'm going to be. So, I mean, for me, it's no questions.
What indications have you had? I know you haven't played any football, but based on what you've seen, what indications do you have that you will be the same player?
I know myself, so.
JJ Snake with NBC Sports Chicago. Kind of that being said, this is a team that hasn't won a lot recently. What sort of sells you on the upside of this team?
I think, again, the coach, the quarterback, you know, some of the players, again, it's been a top 10 defense, you know, the past two seasons, you know. So, I mean, bringing in some guys like Taylor Gabriel, you know, Trey and myself, you know, some guys who have played in good offenses, you know, and who have had production, you know. And I think it's, for me as a player, you know, it's not my job to make Mitch's job easier. It's to make his job easy. So, I mean, that's something that I want to come in here and do.
Alan, how about the Pro Football Weekly?
Fair or not, we know what you're getting paid. How does it feel at the age of 24 to be known that you're guaranteed tens of millions of dollars? And how do you avoid the natural tendency of what that impacts your work effort and your drive?
For me, like you said, I'm 24 years old. You know, I've had some highs in my career, and I've had some lows in my career. You know, so for me, I know the type of player that I want to be in this league when it's all said and done. You know, and I think that for me, you know, looking at what Chicago provided from an overall standpoint was, I think that they would allow me to do that. You know, this is not something where I just want to come here, you know, for, I know I signed for 3 years, but this is not just a 3-year thing for me. You know, I mean, in my eyes, I want to retire a Chicago Bear. So, I mean, it's a lot for me riding on this.
Allen Robinson wants to retire a Chicago Bear. Wow. What a get. I mean, it's one thing when one of these receivers is just, you know, cashing out and wants to be just a good wide receiver. But Robinson really sounds committed to this team, the direction, the head coach, the quarterback. And at the very least, that should help ease some of the concerns of any fans that are doubting his ability to return to that number one receiver level. You know, his head is clearly in the right place with this team, even though, you know, he was talking so fast. I wondered if he was nervous, you know, right in front of the media and at the press conference. You know, he talked really fast and he stuttered a few times, kind of saying the same thing. And just little things in the way that he talked and his body language just maybe seemed a little bit nervous in the Windy City. We'll see if the stage is a little bit bright for him, but maybe that means he'll be more inclined to just kind of lay low and, you know, not be too enticed by the bright city lights. Regardless, I feel like those comments just reaffirm him for me as a great signing. I mean, if you've been listening to Locked On Bears, you know I was a big fan of Allen Robinson. And really, if you've been listening to Locked On Bears, I really appreciate you continuing to tune in. Like I've been saying, we are one of Stitcher's top 100 fastest growing podcasts. And I just can't thank you enough for the support. Keep coming back. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. You know, you can like us on Facebook, Lockdown Bears, and follow us on Twitter, at Lockdown Bears. Like I said, there's going to be more free agent analysis as the news comes in. And then once things cool down a little bit there, you're going to go head first into NFL draft season, get plenty of analysis for you there, and really have you set for draft day. You'll know all of the prospects the Bears could be interested in, and you'll be all set for the future leaders of this Bears locker room, wherever they come. It starts Monday with another edition of Mock Draft Monday on the podcast. We will have a guest NFL draft analyst help us break down some prospects and really start to figure out what direction the Bears are even going to go in the draft now after signing all these free agents. Even before Monday, we might even have a better feel for what needs still kind of sit there and which prospects might fit with the Bears in their specific draft ranges. You're not going to want to miss that. That's why you got to keep it locked on Locked On Bears. And always, bear down.